Let's start at where we ended up, and it's not so much new information, it's just that I'm going to keep going over the information in a way that hopefully you realize that when you read a verse in the Bible, how miraculous it really is. So 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles 36. So we've talked several weeks now about the destruction of Jerusalem, and God carried them over captive to Babylon, and that's one of the things we're studying, is how it keeps going, the emphasis in the Bible between Israel and God's purpose for them, how the two cities, Babylon and Jerusalem, bounce back and forth from Genesis to Revelation. But the other part of our study is we're looking at amazing fulfilled Bible prophecies. And before we continue on to look at how they come back from Babylon to Jerusalem and then brings that into the New Testament days, there is some prophecies here that are just amazing prophecies that we want to make sure that we see the amazing part about it and appreciate it, because we can talk about Bible prophecy in the future, but the things that aren't fulfilled really aren't as amazing as the things that have already been fulfilled. And these just start compounding here, and you'll see it as I start to deliver this. In verse 15, 2 Chronicles 36, verse 15, it says, "The Lord God of their fathers sent unto them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place." And then he talks about how they refused to hear the prophets until there was no remedy. God had to bring them into captivity. And then he used Nebuchadnezzar to come and take the kingdom of Judah, the southern part of the nation of Israel, the only part that was left, and take them in captivity, took all the vessels, as you read down in verse 18, all the gold and all the vessels of the temple, and carried him away to Babylon. There's three different sieges on the city, and then finally the third siege, he actually tore down the temple and drug all the, even the pillars of brass and all, drug them all the way back to Babylon. And so the city was destroyed, and the people were led away captive into Babylon, and only the poorest of the people stayed, and other people from other nations moved in. And that's the destruction of Jerusalem. Back here in Chronicles. But after that, verse 20, it says, "And them that escaped from the sword carried he away into Babylon, where they were servants unto him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord, spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah, might be accomplished. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, and he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord God be with him, let him go up." And so after the time period that was spoken by Jeremiah, the 70, the 70 years of captivity, Cyrus the king then is stirred up and makes his proclamation to return back to the land, and that'll be under Zerubbabel that they'll go back and start rebuilding the temple, and then under Nehemiah they'll rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, and then we'll shift back from Babylon back to Jerusalem again. So the end of Chronicles covers a whole period of time here where it not only talks about the destruction and the captivity into Babylon, but how long that captivity takes place, and then the return, and not only how long the captivity place, why the captivity was 70 years, and so all that's here. We also expressed how in the Jewish Bible, 2 Chronicles is the end of the Jewish Old Testament. in the sense that, like, really, the history continues through Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, but this kind of gives a summary of the end that leads right into New Testament days. Now I got to turn some air conditioning on. We're going to cook. We're in that time. It was heat this morning. I try not to do that until the kids get out of Sunday school because the basement's cold. But they all have heaters down there, so I warned them. We shut the vents and told them to turn on the heaters already. Now, we studied this last time. We got to the point where I wanted to show you about Jeremiah's prophecy. But there was also some things that we did last time that I wanted you to see, and I told you I was going to put a time chart up. The time chart, now there's some things we can do, some shortcuts here. But one of the things that we saw last time is when we were reading it in Kings, where God says that when he gave them to the hands of Babylon to go captive, it says, as the prophet said. And there wasn't just one prophet, but we look back into 2 Kings chapter 18 and realize that Isaiah comes along and he keeps speaking to King Hezekiah. And Hezekiah actually almost died, and God added to him 15 years. And in that 15 years' times, he entertained some ambassadors from Babylon, because he never was worried about Babylon as a nation. He was worried about Assyria. He was worried about Egypt. He maybe Syria itself, but he never thought about Babylon. But Isaiah comes to him and said, "What did you do?" And he said, "I showed him all the treasures of my house and didn't show him any. There's nothing they didn't see." And he said, "Oh, they're going to take it." And Isaiah told Hezekiah that Babylon was going to destroy him. What we did is we listed out these kings and realized that in the days from where Isaiah prophesied that until the captivity took place, now I didn't write it down this time, but from this point to this point was 125 years. And that Isaiah predicted 125 years before that Babylon was the one that was going to destroy Jerusalem and carry him captive and take the spoils away from the city. And that's one of the amazing prophecies. What we didn't look at last time is the fact that if you go to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, it'll refer to Isaiah, and it said that he prophesied in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Now that's interesting to me because I'm not sure what year Uzziah, because that's 52, that those kings, if you add up the number of years that they reigned, that's 113 years. Now, I don't think Isaiah prophesied for 113 years. I don't know what age he was when he started prophesying or what year of the reign of Uzziah that he prophesied. But I do know that his prophecy ended in the days of Hezekiah, which I never stopped to think about before. But that means in the 15th, when Isaiah came back to Hezekiah and said, "The Lord's going to give you 15 more years," Isaiah died before Hezekiah did, because he didn't prophesy beyond the days of Hezekiah. So before, just before his death, sometime before his death, he predicted something that took place 125 years later. But that adds to the understanding, Isaiah's long dead. He didn't prophesy this after it happened and wrote it in his book. His book was all written 125 years before it ever took place. And we looked at that prophecy again, not only in the book of Kings, we read it in the book of Isaiah as well. So that's an interesting thing to keep in mind. The other thing is, in this passage here, if you look again at verse 20, it says, "Them that escaped of the sword carried he away unto Babylon, where they were servants unto him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia." So they're going to be carried away into Babylon. It's going to tell you how long Babylon is going to rule over Israel, and then how Persia is going to be, and not just Persia, as you look down in verse 20, which king of Persia is going to cause them to return. But verse 21 says that they're going to be carried away until the kingdom of Persia to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. Now we're going to go to another prophecy that Jeremiah is going to prophesy. "Until the land had enjoyed her rest, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70. So we're going to look at some prophecies now in the book of Jeremiah, that in Jeremiah's day, he's going to predict that when they go into captivity, that captivity will last 70 years. And the writer of the book of Chronicles, which is probably, if you ever read just the verses that we're talking about here in 2 Chronicles and read the first chapter of Ezra, they're identical, which is telling you Ezra wrote Chronicles. But anyhow, the writer of Chronicles tells you that it was 70 years historically, but Jeremiah said it before those 70 years. So there's another prophecy. Isaiah predicts they're going to go into captivity. Jeremiah tells you how long they're going to go into captivity. But it also told you why they're going into captivity 70 years. It says to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. The land's got to enjoy Sabbath. Well, the land was supposed to rest every 7 years. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70. So that means for 490 years, they didn't practice the Sabbath rest of the land, and now God's going to cause the land to rest. They're going to be carried off the land. The land's going to rest 70 years, because in 490 years, that's 70 times that they didn't let the land rest. 70 years. Now, I'm not going to try to go through all this. Do you remember who the first king after Solomon, when the kingdom got divided? Jeroboam did the. Rehoboam was the king of that followed Solomon on the throne. And it's interesting. I've done this. Roy has done it. You can actually take the kings and start adding, just like we do here, is how long the kings reigned, and you can figure out. Now you got to be real careful. Some kings, like one king got sick and his son reigned in his stead, but they overlap because they're both on the throne at the same time. So you got to really do some studying. But when you do that studying, from the time Rehoboam began to reign until the third siege of Nebuchadnezzar against Jerusalem, now that lasted 3 years, and then he destroyed the city. But when that third siege began, there is exactly 370 years from Rehoboam all the way to the siege of Nebuchadnezzar against Jerusalem, the third siege, the final siege. Do you know who reigned before Rehoboam? Solomon. We're going to go backwards. Do you know how long Solomon reigned? Did I hear it? 40? 40 years. You're right. The king before Solomon was who? Do you know how long David reigned? 40 years. Who's the king before David? Saul. Do you know how long Saul reigned? We can thank the Apostle Paul for this, by the way. It tells us in the book of Acts it was 40 years. What does that add up to be? That's 12, that's 19. And carry the one. 490 years. From the time of the kings until the captivity, the siege for the final captivity, has been 490 years. Jeremiah speaks up now and says, now God's going to let that land rest for 70 years. So I put this down here two reasons, just so that you can see it can be calculated, and you can go back and realize it's all the way from the time of King Saul. But the time of King Saul began a time period in your Bible called the time of the kings. Now, I know that when we go through the Old Testament, depending on how familiar you are with the Old Testament, that you kind of get lost. That's why the timeline is up here, so that you can actually see some things. But one of the things that you need to realize is that from Genesis in your Bible all the way to the book of Esther, those in your Old Testament are considered historical books, because it's taking you the history from creation and all the separating of Abraham, and then they multiply in Egypt, and Moses brings them out of Egypt, and they go into the land under Joshua. There's 450 years under the time of the judges. Then Israel wanted a king, and then starts the age of the king from Saul to all the way to the captivity. You've been studying history, and even this conclusion of Chronicles takes you into the information that's in Ezra and Nehemiah, all this about being restored. They restore the temple, they restore to the land, they restore to the temple, they restore the walls, so they restore the city. And that takes place after the 70-year captivity. So there's your history. Now, during the time of the history, God raised up prophets, especially in a time when Israel under the kings began to turn to idolatry. God was raising up. That's why we read verse 15 there. And the Lord God of their fathers sent unto them messengers, rising up betimes quickly, and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. That was his place. And so he's raising up prophets to warn them, and the prophets warned them that they needed to turn. The prophet Jeremiah is really interesting because if you look at Jeremiah's prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 1, no, it's actually verse 2, I think. It talks about Jeremiah prophesied in the 13th year of Josiah, Jehoiakim, Zedekiah, unto the fifth month. And it looks like the fifth or a little bit past. What happens is after they go into captivity, the people that are left in the land, they actually try to appoint a king and fight the king of Babylon, and then the king of Babylon's going to get them. They said, look, Jeremiah, we're going to listen to what God says this time. We're thinking of going down to Egypt. Should we go? Jeremiah goes to the Lord, comes back, says, nope, absolutely not. Do not go down to Egypt. Oh, forget it. You don't know what you're talking about. They went to Egypt. And so Jeremiah followed him down to Egypt. I don't know how long that period of time is. I just threw a 1 year in there because it's past the captivity. But it's under Zedekiah that they went into captivity. And Jeremiah, we're told it's the 13th year of Josiah. So there's Josiah reigned, I put these stars, because he reigned 31 years. So 18 years of Jeremiah's life, 18 years of Josiah's reign, Jeremiah began to prophesy, reigned all 11 years of Jehoiakim, those guys who did 6 months, they're not even listed here, there's no sense for listing them. Zedekiah, 11 years, and then that year past that. So that Jeremiah, the years of his prophecy are 41 years. When he prophesied, and he prophesied just a little bit past this captivity. But remember, we're about to read some verses where before the captivity took place, he prophesied. Now, what I was about to say, if you ever read the book of Jeremiah, I find it a fun book. He's suffering all the time. He's called the weeping prophet because no one will ever listen to him. He doesn't have one convert the whole time. But there comes a time in his prophecies that he begins to tell the nation, even if you repent, forget it, it's too late. That they push God to the point that there's no reversal. You're going into captivity. So he tells them the best thing you can do is don't wait for Nebuchadnezzar to come and destroy the city. Just go surrender to him. And you'll be taken care of in Babylon. And so anyhow, that's when he did. A little bit of history ahead of that is when they go into Babylon, there's three different sieges. The first siege is when Ezekiel was taken captive. And he starts heading into Babylon. He's writing the book of Ezekiel as he goes. When another person that's in the captivity, actually in the king's court of Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, is Daniel. And Daniel writes the book of Daniel. He's in captivity in Babylon during that 70 years. So you get a little bit of information about that. I was going to list Zerubbabel and Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. They all prophesied after they came back and restored. There's a whole group of prophets that did that. So anyhow, you get a little bit of idea of the history. And the reason it's good, oh, by the way, one more thing before I go into the Jeremiah verses. Between Isaiah, see, Isaiah's life ends here before Hezekiah died. Jeremiah doesn't prophesy until the 13th year of Josiah. Well, after Isaiah died, Manasseh reigns 55 years, Amon reigns 2 years, and Josiah reigned 13 years before Jeremiah began to prophesy, or Jeremiah in that 13th year, you know, whether you call it 12 or 13. Anyhow, the point is there is a gap between, not there's other prophets, so there's not a gap of prophets, but between major prophet like Isaiah and Jeremiah, there is a 70-year gap here from the time Isaiah died and Jeremiah picks up prophesying. And I did that just so you could follow all the kings right to the end. Now, with that information, according to Chronicles, it said that 70 years did last exactly like Jeremiah said they would. Now, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 25. Now, I told you Babylon is talked about like 141 times in Jeremiah. So I had so many verses, I just two chapters that we're going to look at, just 13 verses in those chapters for the information about the 70 years. And it's the same, both of them are about the 70 years, but they say two different things about them. First of all, Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah." So Jehoiakim, in his fourth year, Jeremiah begins to prophesy. That's when he wrote chapter 25 of the book of Jeremiah. And it says, the which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, king of Ammon, son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that there were 23 years, the word of the Lord came unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. The Lord hath sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye now, even now, every one of you, from the evil way and from the evil of your doing, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given you and to your fathers forever and ever. And that's what we're talking about, Jerusalem. God has a place there in Jerusalem forever. And go not after the other gods to serve them and to worship them, to provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet have ye not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the words of your hands, works of your hands, and your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not hearkened unto my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. Now, Nebuchadnezzar never thought about him being the servant of the Lord one day in his life. When he took everything captive, when you read Daniel chapter 1, he attributed his victory to his God. But it wasn't his God that gave him the victory. God put all this in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, used Nebuchadnezzar as his servant to bring judgment upon Israel. He says, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring him against this land, and will bring and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstone, and the light of the candle. And the whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation. And I will bring upon the land all the words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. In chapter 27, he'll name all these nations. Because it's not just this nation. God's going to take all the nations that were of power and put them all in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. He's going to become a world empire. And it names all the nations that he's going to put in his power, and Judah is one of those. And he's going to have that power for 70 years, and then he's done. What we're talking about in our prophecy is, here's Jerusalem, and now God lets Nebuchadnezzar take the people of Jerusalem to Babylon. But already, before they're even carried to Babylon, we're told they're going to only have them 70 years. Then God's going to destroy Babylon. These people are going to come back. So that's why we keep going Jerusalem, Babylon, Babylon, back to Jerusalem. And we'll see later in our prophecies how Jeremiah not only said it's going to be 70 years, but sure enough, just like Jeremiah said, God's going to destroy Babylon. Israel's going to come back to their land. They are going to be restored to their land again. So you see this prophecy that the writer of 2 Chronicles is referring to before it ever happened in, what, the fourth year of Jehoiakim, right in the middle of Jeremiah's time of prophecy. He's already predicted that, you're going to be delivered to the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, and it's going to be 70 years you're going to be into captivity. Come over to chapter 29. I know. Sanjay asked me about that too.
That's the same guy though, right?
I just assume it is. Sanjay asked me the same thing because I didn't even catch the spelling difference until she pointed that out. I would think it is because that's who, when you read Daniel, but we could look further into that. I barely noticed the spelling difference. There, the guy in Kings, the captain of the host, he has a name close to Nebuchadnezzar, but it's not Nebuchadnezzar. It's, do you remember? It's in 2 Kings where the captain for Nebuchadnezzar does that. Anyhow, come look over at chapter 29. Now again, it's going to talk about the 70-year captivity, but I wanted you to see something, a little bit more information about it. It said, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent unto Jerusalem, unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captive, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah the king and the queen and the eunuchs of the princes of Judah and Jerusalem and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem. Now remember, there's three different sieges, and I think he's talking about the second siege here. We don't even have Jehoiachin because he only reigned 6 months, and then he got taken. He and his wife got taken away to Babylon captive. In that second siege, that's when Daniel was taken away captive into Babylon. And if you notice that this letter is not written to the people in Jerusalem, it's written to the people who were taken away captive, so that they might know something about what's going on here, because he's prophesying to the people in Jerusalem, but here he's now going to, he sends a letter to the captives. And it says, by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, the king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, so that's how the letter gets delivered, and here's what Jeremiah's letter to them says. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have sent, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build ye houses and dwell in them. Make it your home. And plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget ye sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that ye may bear sons and daughters, that ye may increase there and not diminish. So naturally, giving your daughters to sons, that's sons of Israel, the other captives, so that the nation of Israel doesn't go into extinction. They're going to multiply just like they did in Egypt. Now they're going to continue to multiply in Babylon. It says, and seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord God, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken unto your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform the good word toward you in causing you to return unto this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give unto you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, and ye shall search for me with all your heart. Now that the captives, make it your home, multiply there, pray for the city you're living in, I'll give you peace in that city, and 70 years after, I'm going to bring you home. Even if that bell rings, there's one more verse I got to show you. Come to Daniel chapter 9. The kingdom that followed Babylon is Media Persia. Remember, it's Persia that they're going to come back under. It says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 1, in the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereon the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, that he should accomplish 70 years in the destruction of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord my God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord, and now he's going to confess the sins of Israel, because that's how the Jews got restored. When they acknowledged to God they have sinned, then God will restore him. Daniel's reading in books and talks about the prophecy of Jeremiah. Didn't Jeremiah send a letter to the captives? There's Daniel captive, and Daniel now is at the end of that 70 years. Just before the end of the 70 years took place, he opens up and he says, wait a minute, I've been captive. It's almost the end of 70 years. So he gets on his knees and starts praying to God, because he knows the captivity is about over. The reason he knows it's about over is because Jeremiah, years before, prophesied about this. That's why you talk about amazing prophecies. Here, Daniel lives through that 70 years. Jeremiah is dead and gone. And here that 70 years is accomplished, Daniel starts praying, and as we already read in Chronicles, it happened, just like Jeremiah said, under Cyrus, not under Darius, or under, Darius of the son of Ahasuerus, but under Cyrus, the king, it's going to happen. Now, next week when we come back, this chart's not over, because there's another amazing prophecy regarding Cyrus, the king of Persia. So Isaiah predicts something 125 years before it happens. I didn't calculate what year this, I could actually pick the year that Jeremiah said that the 70 years would happen to them, but here we are, Daniel reading the book of Jeremiah, knowing it's just about over. All that, God speaking, raising up the prophets, telling them ahead of time what's going to take place, and it happens just like God said, so there's no question that God is the God of this Bible. And these are, when you know the history, you can then realize the amazing Bible prophecies that have already taken place. Another big one before we move on past here. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, I thank you for the opportunity to teach your word and to study enough where we're in the Old Testament history. We can lay it out, understand it, realize when you raised up the prophets what you said, and realize it was accomplished exactly like you said it would be accomplished, that everything is timed out, and even the Gentile kings are just servants in your hands to accomplish your purpose of an everlasting kingdom on earth in Jerusalem, like you promised to the nation of Israel. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.